Hour number three of Sports Talk begins. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. And once again, we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline for a very special guest, longtime friend of the program, and that is Ball for Life, Jeff Francis, as he joins us now. Jeff, how are you?
Doing great, John, Jimmy. Hope you guys are well. Don't know
yes, sir.
How you guys manage having a sports talk show with no sports, but you guys are pros, and I know you've handled it well.
Well, we certainly have benefited from having wonderful folks such as yourself join us to talk about any number of different things. Well, but go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, is this like coping? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to talk about coping, or are we doing sports? What are we doing? I don't know.
We're actually primarily sports, but there's always
okay.
coping. Always all coping right. involved. But we got to see, and it was such a fan. I mean, considering as we talked with Barry Rice last week, he started with originally a five-hour cut, got it down to two. ESPN said make it one, and he did. And so it turned out that we can't wait for what will be the director's cut at some point that we hope to get to see all this footage. But, Jeff, no doubt about it, you played for Coach Majors, and it was great to see your contribution to the project. What was it like for you to be a part of it?
Well, it was fun because, I mean, with Coach Majors, you know, he's such a unique individual, and there's so many stories to tell. It's kind of funny, the last couple, we taped it, and I did not get a chance to see the show. It was on Friday night. I didn't get the chance to see it, and I kind of forgot what I talked about. I guess I had told some story about taking snaps where he had boxer shorts, so I'm getting all these text messages the last couple of days. Hey, great story about the boxer shorts. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then finally somebody told me the whole thing, so... that was my. I'm looking forward to seeing it, but I have not seen the show yet.
Well, I don't think there's any question that it really sent a shockwave through just Big Orange Country, Vol Nation, however you want to term it, to hear the news that Coach Majors had passed away. What was it like for you to hear the news?
Well, sort of a little frustrating because his birthday, 85th birthday, was a couple maybe a week or so before. And I had texted him happy birthday, and he had called me back the next day, and I couldn't get to the phone, and we had traded kind of phone calls, and I did not get the touch. And then my business partner came in the office and said, hey, you hear about Coach Majors? And I just said, he died, didn't he? And I just kind of knew when he said that. So it was kind of sad. I really, really wish I could have had that phone call and gotten him back to talk to him one last time.
Jeff, tell me about your relationship with Coach Majors when you played at Tennessee.
You know, Coach was when you, it's funny because I felt like I got to know him better once I stopped when I didn't play. When you played with him, he was definitely the CEO. There's no doubt he was in charge. But you know, really, he kind of, and again, when I was playing, we weren't great on defense, just to say the least. We were pretty good on offense. And his background was in the secondary, being a defensive coach. So he spent 90% of his time on the defensive side of the ball. And he kind of left offensively. I mean, we'd see him game day and, you know, walk with Coach Majors, you know, game day. And so you see him some then, but he was definitely a CEO, and he was in charge of the coaches for sure.
The 1987 season was a pretty good year for Tennessee. And then 1988 comes along. You start 0-5, demote the defensive coordinator, lose another game, and then you win the last five. What was it like to deal with that kind of season with Coach Majors?
You know, I give him credit. I really do, and I'm not trying to take credit for, like, the 90s, the success of the 90s, but I do think that was a pivotal point. And he was really great about kind of what he would call closing ranks and just trying to you know, get focused on yourself, stay tight as a team. And I'll be honest, I mean, I was a senior quarterback. A lot of guys would have ditched me and gone with a younger guy. You know, Andy Kelly, Sterling Hinton were kind of waiting in the wings. But I do think he thought that I gave him the best chance, you know, the team the best chance to win. And I just really appreciate his loyalty to me and sticking with me. And I do think winning those last five games, we had a lot of young guys who turned out to have great careers, but they were young freshmen guys at the time. And it turned, you know, the 89 team, I think, won the SEC championship. And then the success of the 90s kind of grew from there. So I do think it was a pivotal year for Tennessee football. It wasn't the greatest year, obviously, but it was pivotal.
You said exactly what I was going to ask you about, because a lot of coaches would say, we're going with the youth movement, we're going to ditch the senior quarterback, a senior quarterback who, by the way, ended up getting drafted in the sixth round. Was there any discussion about going with the youth movement? Do you recall that at all?
Well, I do remember we were playing at Ole Miss, and if you guys long time the game where the lights, they didn't have lights, and it got really dark, and John Ward couldn't see a thing. Got really dark. I remember having a conversation because we were moving the ball a bunch, but we weren't scoring, and it was a close game. And I got one of those conversations with Coach Harris. And he's like, look, buddy, you got one more series. If nothing happens, something's gonna change, gonna be made. And I could tell it was coming from Coach Majors. So I think we scored and kind of ended up winning that game. But yeah, it was pretty close to being hook time for Jeff Francis.
Jeff,
which might have been good. I don't know.
That one of the things that was really neat to see was just a clip. You could tell it was the preseason, and you were sitting next to Coach Majors in the locker room, and he said, yeah, we're looking forward to, we feel the offense is in good hands, and he's talking about you, and he says, but we don't want him to kind of get full of himself, so we'll just say we like what we see.
That's him.
Yeah. But you said it a little bit of this already. What was it like to get to know Coach Majors after your playing time at Tennessee was done, and just build that relationship?
Well, the funny thing is, Coach Harris, Walt Harris, and I talked about Coach Majors is a unique guy in the fact that he's always the head coach. I mean, he's kind of like he was always the alpha male in any situation. He was in charge, and. You know, we had a little quarterback reunion about 4 or 5 years ago, trying to bring a bunch of the guys that played in the 80s in with Walt Harris. And I kind of wanted to end the weekend with a dinner with Coach Majors. And, heck, we had a dinner with Coach Majors. And, heck, I had to set it up like 6 months in advance because the schedule was so busy. And he tried to change. So, anyhow, but we finally got a dinner, and we had a great time. But it was shocking how many people would just want to get their picture with Coach. And he obliged. It was a lot of fun. It was a fun evening. But I always remember Coach Mater. He is always the head coach.
Because we have a transmitter and you don't. 99.1, the sports animal.
Sports talk continues, and we sure do appreciate VFL, former Tennessee quarterback Jeff Francis, hanging on as a hey, when we're remote broadcasting, and that's from three different spots, anything can happen.
That's right. But we're back.
Yes, we are. And so very much appreciate your time. But as you were talking about what made Knoxville home and then also what it was like to build the relationship with Coach Majors after your playing days at Tennessee, one of the things that just really stood out was just the reaction that we saw across the sports world to the passing of Coach Majors. And I know somebody that you became close with, it was really something to see what John Gruden had to say about what Coach Majors meant to him.
Yeah, John, I mean, I think most coaches that, you know, they, when you become a head coach, I think you appreciate being given that first chance because he knew it was Coach. I mean, he gave him a graduate assistant job and then big scheme of thing, that doesn't seem like a big deal. But for a young coach, that is a big deal. And he knew that Coach Majors was the one that gave him that shot. I think Coach Majors, and I think Coach Majors kind of always kept in touch with him. They kept in touch with each other. So, yeah, I think that's, you know, Coach Majors is, you know, he really does. And if you spend any time with Coach Majors, he'll tell you all about his coaching tree. It's quite big. And he always lets you know about it.
I think it's expanded to 34 that became head coaches at some point.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, by the way, that Ole Miss game you were talking about, is that when William Howard carried it like 16 times in a row?
No, that would have been my sophomore year.
Okay.
That was a different game. But it was really – they both were good victories, which we like, but we were close to getting the axe on that one for me.
David Moon mentioned this. I wanted to get your take on it. He said there were kind of like three John Majors. There was the Coach Majors. There was the John Majors, the guy that would go to the ballet and the symphony and the culture, and then there was a John Majors that was kind of a fan favorite. Did you see different John Majors after your playing days?
Yeah, he did. You know, I can remember this when you played. He always would get on the bus, and he would always have some kind of like a history book. I mean, you get around, especially the assistant coaches, they're always talking X's and O's and this and that. Coach Majors kind of had a different – I mean, he was always reading a history book or – you know, a strategical army or some kind of thing about some kind of battle. He was that kind of guy. And, you're right, he is a unique guy. And the coolest thing, and I don't think people appreciate enough, is just how well he was dressed and how he carried himself on the sidelines. I just think it was I just really appreciate it now, and just and knowing like you played for him, and you know I can still see him. I couldn't help but think of this and how good he was. Really, game day management. I mean, he was awesome. I'll never forget. I think it was a couple of years ago where one of our previous coaches really missed a, I thought, just blatant where he should have gone for two. And I just thinking, God, Coach Majors would have never missed that. I'm like, I just think I looked over the sidelines. He'd have had those two fingers pointed up with those rings on it and that suit. And there would have been no question we're going for two on that. So he's one of those guys I think you appreciate playing for him the older you get.
I also found that he was a guy that he had a good sense of humor, and he was somebody that could laugh at himself as well. Now, you might not have seen that as a player, but I saw that in later years with him.
Yeah, I would say so too. I mean, he was kind of always kind of a playful guy at practice. You know, he was one of those guys, he would – when somebody would mess something up, you know, he's 55, you know, late 50s, and, well, he had nothing to, you know, turn that hat backwards and put the whistle over his shoulder and, you know, try to catch punts, and it never really went well, but it was always fun to see him be playful that way.
Our guest, VFL, Jeff Francis, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, as you made your way to Tennessee, what was it like to be recruited by Coach Majors, and who else were you considering at the time?
Oh, gosh. You know, what recruiting wasn't quite like it was back, like it is now. I had offers at, like, Iowa State, Arizona, Miami, Ohio, some smaller schools. But, you know, my dad, it's kind of funny, my dad knew about Coach Majors. My dad went to Iowa State, and Coach Majors started his head coaching career at Iowa State and turned that program around, went to Pitt, and then to Tennessee. So he was very familiar with Coach Majors, and he always taught, and my dad's from Creston, Iowa. So Coach Majors, every time he talked to me, said the very first day on the job, he went recruiting, he said, I was done recruiting, and I stopped at a bar in Creston, Iowa. So you know that story got told several times when he saw him. So that was kind of the connection with him.
And, of course, you have done a lot of work and have been a part of the Vol Network for quite some time. What has it been like to just have that part of your connection to Tennessee continue as it has with Big Orange Hotline in the fall?
Oh, it's been fun. The thing you miss about playing football is the teamwork. And with, you know, Bob doing the show and the Vol Network guys, I've always kind of felt like you're part of that team. And I've always appreciated that. We always like to laugh and joke and have fun. And, you know, I just enjoy being around those guys and doing that, doing the radio show. And I enjoyed the time being on the sidelines. In the 7 or 8 years I did it, enjoyed it. And it was great view of Tennessee football. Really was.
Jeff, you mentioned a great view of Tennessee football. You've had a great experience as a parent. A number of your kids have played high school football, mm-hmm. West High School, and I wonder how much you enjoyed that experience of being the father of a player versus being a player.
Well, it's better. It's kind of funny. We actually just dropped our youngest off at school. He's going to go play at Middle Tennessee this year. We just dropped him off on Sunday, and my wife and I decided that yesterday – was going to be our Independence Day. So we just sat around the pool. I took the day off. We sat around the pool and celebrated getting rid of everybody. it's been fun. I've had a great time. Watch fun. My daughter played soccer, played collegiately in soccer. And so it's been a lot of fun, no doubt. Luckily, I've got, I think, hopefully 4 more years of watching some college football and a son watching him play.
How fun was it, though, just to watch your kids play high school sports?
Oh, it's great. I mean, I love high school football. I think there's a sense of community. Now, obviously, college football is special, and it's awesome, especially in the Southeast. But there's nothing better than going out and playing for your school. And I just love the sense of community. And I just think it affects kids more than they ever know. I think I'm a big believer that the high school coach is one of the most influential people in your community, and has been for me. And I think that kind of still stands. So I think it's extremely important. And I wish we could get going with it this year. I'm really going to get kind of frustrated. I think everybody is, because I think it's really good for kids to be doing that. And it's just frustrating.
A lot of parents who were players, in particular on the college level, they kind of like to coach. Did you stay out of that when your kids were playing?
Well, I mean, coaching, I coached two of the three boys. It's one of those, you know, you kind of get one of those – when you're done playing, I played briefly in the NFL and kind of got done and really kind of wanted, you're kind of tired of it. You kind of move on to a new career. All of a sudden I had a son, but Ryan started playing, and you know, I really didn't want to have much to do. I let him play. And then all of a sudden you kind of see him coaching and you're like, well, they're not doing that right. And like most guys, my wife steps and goes, shut up and step up and big boy and put your hat in the ring. So I started coaching. I kind of got drawn to it. So I've coached quite a bit since then. It's been fun.
Yeah, I guess I'm in on the high school level.
No.
That's what I'm in. I'm sorry. I wasn't specific about that. But
no, heck, that's a real job. Eighth grade is as high as I go.
Was that a great experience to coach your kids?
Oh, yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun. I hope they'd say the same. But, yeah, you can't help but enjoy the car rides. Heck, when in Knoxville, if you haven't played at John Carlton Field, you're missing something. So those were fun car rides.
One of the comments that we got to hear, and I can't wait for you to see the finished product, because it did. It turned out very well with Johnny Major straight ahead. But to hear David Moon make the comment that he did, that to hear his kids repeat something that he had heard from Coach Majors, and they had never met Coach Majors, I didn't know if there was any part of your coaching where you might be saying the words, but in your mind you're hearing Coach Majors' voice.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's so funny. We, especially when the kids are little, every year we would practice this. Like on Thursday, we would do the swinging gate. And if you don't know what the swinging gate is, like everybody, the whole line lines up on the far side. And it was the cheesiest thing, but we would do this. Like I would come around the field. Hey guys, the ball's over here. And you take it and you snap it and throw it to the guy and you have a swinging gate. I would put that in just for Coach Majors, just because I'm like, when the kids were little, it actually worked. And I remember calling the coach, I put the swinging gate in and he just started laughing.
Tell me of your former teammates at Tennessee. Who do you keep up with to this day?
Well, I think Charles Davis is a guy I keep up with. And I think for my class, Phil Stewart's one of the guys. And I had a chance. Phil's son and my son played high school football at West together, so we reconnected that way. So Phil's kind of like he's the glue. He keeps up with everyone. So all that I do, if I have a question about someone, I call Phil, and he knows what everybody's doing. So he's kind of my guy to go to.
Jeff, I did want to ask you this, going back to that 88 season. How good were Carl Pickens and Chuck Webb? I know they redshirted, but could you tell then?
I wouldn't know. Ask Andy Kelly. He's the one that got to play with them. I didn't. No, they were obviously pretty good. Yeah, I mean, they could have helped us. But, you know, at the same time, we did have Reggie. Reggie was a little bit banged up at that year. We had some pretty good receivers. I mean, we had Alvin Harper and Anthony Morgan. We had some talent there. I kind of see why they redshirted them. But at the same time, I mean, it would have been nice to have those guys out there.
Yeah. As far as the NFL, when you were drafted, what were your visions? Did you think, hey, I want to play in the NFL for 10 years, 5 years? Did you have any thoughts about that?
No, Jimmy, I thought I was just going to play three and be two for two and be called a career. Everybody wants to play 10 years and win Super Bowls and all that. But, you know, that just wasn't my story. So, and I think after a while, and I always tell people, you know, it's really hard when a guy like Bill Belichick cuts you. It's kind of hard to say to people that the coach didn't know what he was doing. You know? I think everybody that plays and goes to the college, they want to go play 10 years. And, I've heard there's a guy that's a six-round draft pick like me that has won a few Super Bowls.
Yeah.
That wasn't me, but that was kind of my dream.
Hey, Jeff, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us, share your memories of Coach Majors, and well done to see your contributions to what was Johnny Majors straight ahead. But hope everybody's safe and sound and staying well and safe through all this.
All right, guys. You have a great day. Thanks for having me on.
All right, sure to appreciate it. Jeff Francis joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.